Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 3 o'clock right here at Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Great to have you with us, a Friday Eve edition of the program. Man, I'm loving Neil Pappas, like, backing out on his bet before the bets have even been determined. That really cracks me up. Nothing says lack of confidence like quitting on your bets perhaps 3 months before the bets are realized. All right? Come on, Neil. You're better than that, man. You are completely and totally better than that. Lots of fun topics on the docket today. If you're just tuning in, I've got some weird sinus thing going on today. If any of you have like a secret remedy to get rid of your sinus issues, I know I'm dealing with a sinus infection in here today, kind of playing hurt, but that's okay. No excuses. Let's rock and roll this last hour. I will allow you to play doctor, okay? And give me any tips that you have to knock this thing, because I got like the headache in between your eyes. You know, I've got like the ears are hurting. I've got the sore throat going on. I'm basically living on a diet of Ricola right now. So it is what it is.
Have you tried what your mom suggested when she called
it? Breathing in salt.
Salt water. I have done that before. What you do is you put, it's basically saline solution. Trust me, it burns. But it will clear you up for an hour or two. It can get you. The first time I did it, an Easter play. I was in an Easter play, and my aunt said, do this. I'm like,
did
okay.
Did your habit fall off?
Didn't have that problem because I wasn't playing a nun like your mom was.
Okay. My mom called in earlier in the show, by the way, today, guys. She called in. She gave Lonzo a compliment, which she and I are going to talk about that later. And she also gave me some tips on dealing with the sinus issue that I have today. So
I think you should snort the salt water live on the air. I think you should do that.
You know, I shared with you that somebody down below offered me. They said, this is the best sinus remedy I have, rock and rye bourbon. Have yourself a double shot before you go on the air, Mark. You know? See, the problem for me is if I do that, I would end up talking about that. And if I talk about that, I end up being fired. If I end up being fired, I can't live in this beautiful place. If I don't live in this beautiful place, what else am I going to do? If I'm saying to myself, what else am I going to do? I'm going to end up in Lakeland, Florida. And if I end up in Lakeland, Florida, that is going to be a very depressing situation. Don't end up in a very depressing situation, right? That's my theory. That's my thought process behind all of that. And I believe that was a DirecTV commercial, by the way.
No, I'm trying to figure out why that would be depressing. You get to go home and spend time with your wonderful mother who called earlier.
But you leave the nest after a while, man. I mean, that's what I do anyway. You got to leave the nest. All right. It is time for the top three at three. We do it each and every day at this time. We bring the top three stories that we're discussing right to your door. The top three at three begins right now. Man, this is just, I don't even know if I have a take on this, ladies and gentlemen. It's just damn sad. I was born, and you guys don't know this, I was born in Syracuse, New York, okay? The first team that I ever truly loved was Syracuse basketball, okay? And last night, Syracuse basketball coach Jim Boeheim was driving a car that hit and killed a pedestrian on an interstate highway in Syracuse, New York. George Jimenez was outside a car on Interstate 690. The vehicle was involved in an unrelated accident due to bad weather. Jimenez was a passenger in that car, which struck a guardrail and came to rest in the middle of the road. The occupants exited the vehicle. Jim Boeheim's car attempted to avoid the vehicle in the road and struck Jimenez after 11 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday after Syracuse played a basketball game. Police were then called to the scene. Field sobriety and alcohol sensor tests were performed on Boeheim and the driver of the other vehicle and came back negative, police said in a statement. Police said the speeds could not be determined, but Onondaga County District Attorney Bill Fitzpatrick said Boeheim was traveling at the proper speed for the highway. Here's Jim Boeheim's statement. I am heartbroken that a member of our community died as a result of last night's accident. Julie and I extend our deepest sympathies to the Jimenez family. Out of respect for those involved, I will not be providing further comment at this time. Even if you weren't at fault, if I killed somebody, if somebody died at the hands of my driving, even again, if it wasn't my fault, that's the kind of thing, Lonzo, that I don't know if I could live with, man. It, you know, the guilt would just absolutely positively eat me up. I struggle mightily with things like that. And I would be playing in my head over and over again, what could I have done differently? How could I have prevented this from happening? It's just, any way you slice it, it's just incredibly sad. It's incredibly tragic. It sounds like Jim Boeheim did nothing wrong. And whereas I mourn for the family, I'm also really sad and mourning for Jim Boeheim and what he's going to have to live with now the rest of his life. I don't know what that looked like. I don't know what your windshield looks like after someone has died at your hands. But I imagine it is a photograph that, you know, permanently brands itself into your brain the same way that we've heard from people that have been protecting us over in the military when they've had to kill people. There are photos that constantly play in their mind that do not leave. And I just frankly, just being real with you, I don't know if I could live with that. I don't know if I could live with that recurring photograph of somebody dying because I hit them in my car, playing over and over and over and over again. Next up, number two, a hot rumor in the NFL. Russell Wilson met with the Seattle Seahawks brass and told Pete Carroll and company that he would love to play for the New York Giants. See, his wife Ciara is a music artist. She's in and out of New York nonstop. The marketing opportunities are better for Russell in New York. He's a really good-looking guy. His image is squeaky clean. He hasn't really been able to capitalize on that in Seattle, and Seattle really hasn't gotten him much help in recent seasons. So it's in typical Russell Wilson classy fashion, he hasn't gone out publicly, he hasn't publicly pulled an Anthony Davis and asked to be traded, but he is behind the scenes meeting with Seahawks brass and not only letting him know that he'd like to be traded, he's letting him know the team. Can you imagine for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, Russell Wilson as the new quarterback of the New York Giants with a backfield of Saquon Barkley, with Odell Beckham Jr. on the outside? That, ladies and gentlemen, is change I can believe in. That changes the balance of power in the NFC East, perhaps in the entire NFC altogether. It changes the balance of power there. And that is very, very interesting. Now, I want to make this clear because it's a rumor that I heard that I've done some digging on, and I do know that it has legs, and I do know that Russell Wilson met with Seahawks management and Seahawks brass. I am not predicting a trade of Russell Wilson to the New York Giants. I am simply stating that Russell Wilson met with Seahawks brass, expressed an interest in being traded to the New York Giants for many, 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 many reasons, some of which we have illustrated here on the show for you today. Where does that leave the New York Giants if Russell Wilson is in the fold? I think it makes them the clear favorite to win the NFC East. I think it makes them a top three seed in the NFC, behind only, in my opinion, the Saints and the LA Rams, and ahead of teams like the Chicago Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles. Incredible news, an incredible rumor that has surfaced here in the NFL. The player that I would select first overall, if I was starting a team and you let me pick any player in the NFL, Russell Wilson would be that player. Elite leadership, elite attitude, elite work ethic, and elite playing ability. He gives me all of those things. Russell Wilson has expressed interest in being traded to the New York Giants. And finally, all right, last night it was the game of the year in college basketball. You saw it. You heard it. It cost $2,500 to get into Cameron Indoor Stadium last night. LeBron James was in the house. Barack Obama was in the house. Many other dignitaries were in the house, all to see Zion Williamson. And 36 seconds into the game, this happened.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe, and then he started holding his right knee. I mean, his shoe blew apart. I've never seen anything like that.
So I've been getting into it with people on social media about this because naturally many are saying, as Duke fell to North Carolina last night, 88-72, many are saying Zion shouldn't play another second of college basketball. Really? Really? When you make a commitment to someone or something, as Zion did to Duke basketball, when you make a commitment like that in your life, is it important to you to see that through? In your life, do you finish what you start? The NBA will always be there, and there's so much more to life than just cash. Now, somebody hit me with, well, what's Zion getting out of this commitment that you want him to make? Oh, I don't know. Just coaching from the best ever to do it on the sideline in Coach K. Oh, I don't know. Just an elite education, all expenses paid. Oh, I don't know. Just the college experience, which for me was the best 6 years of my life. No jokes at my expense here, please. Oh, I don't know. Just maturation as a man and great development as a player. Oh, I don't know, the opportunity to play in the greatest single event in all of sports in the big dance in the tournament. Should I go on? I can. There's some things money can't buy. The college experience, being coached by Coach K, playing in the NCAA tournament are but a few. For everything else, there's MasterCard. If you were Zion's dad, what advice would you give your son, Zion Williamson? My advice to him would be, son, I'll support you no matter what. I'll support you through thick and thin. But if it's me, it would really impress me if you would honor your commitment. And you see, Zion Williamson has an $8 million insurance policy if he suffered an injury, which dropped him below the number 16 pick in the draft. I think he would be the first pick in the draft no matter what the injury is. And he's been diagnosed with a mild knee sprain. Of course he shouldn't stop playing. There's risk in everything we do in life. Playing for the Blue Devils means something to him. And you know what? If he passed up an opportunity to go to the Final Four, I think it's something he would regret for the rest of his life. You made a commitment to the Duke Blue Devils. Honor the commitment. No one is saying Zion Williamson should stick around for 2 years, 3 years. He's done at Duke no later than April 6th of this year. That's a month and a half away. 6 more weeks, maybe 5 weeks max. He's done. So finish the commitment. Finish the work. Finish the job. Honor the commitment. Those are today's top five at five. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The Health There text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with ESPN, and then you can get to your message. You can email me, markryan@espnupstate.com, and you may get to us on Twitter. Please invite you to follow us at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air for me. That's M-A-R-C, Ryan on air, and Lonzo is at Lonzo on word. All right, your thoughts, your calls up next, and also, we're going to be joined by CBS Sports' bracketologist, Jerry Palm. He joins us next on the show. What does Clemson have to do to make the big dance? How about South Carolina? That and more next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. A check on Twitter where I've received a tweet from Upstate Judge who says, today it's okay to quit when faced with some adversity or dissatisfaction. It's sad, really, how often in pro and college sports athletes transfer or ask for a trade anytime things get bumpy. I think he's talking about Russell Wilson there. We're going to have some numbers for you in the next segment on this. You've heard my take on the show today. If I'm Zion Williamson, I'm completing the season for Duke, if my body will allow me to do so. I believe in finishing what you started. I believe he made a commitment to Duke University. I honor and acknowledge all the money that's waiting for him there at the next level, but I don't think it's a major, major risk to play, to finish the season, to be there for your guys, to be there for Coach K. And what is he getting out of the commitment? Well, he's getting coaching from the very best that's ever done it. He's getting the chance to play in the single best event in all of sports. He's getting an elite college education. He's getting a lot out of it. It amazes me how everybody talks about what college athletes should do in terms of the only thing that matters being the dollars that you get in the pros. I disagree with what Nick Bosa did at Ohio State not playing this season when he got injured. And I would disagree with Zion Williamson if he doesn't play another game the rest of this year. I respect the fact that he has a chance to make the decision in terms of what's best for him, But what would be best for me is being there for my guys and finishing what I started and honoring my commitment. Joining us to talk about this and many other things about college hoops, he's somebody I have a tremendous amount of respect for. He has been CBS's college hoops expert for a number of years now. He's been on my shows in Pensacola, Florida, in Orlando, Florida, in Atlanta, Georgia, in Tampa, Florida, in Houston, Texas, and now here in the upstate of Greenville, South Carolina. Jerry Palm joins us right now on the show. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's great to have you on. Long time no talk. Your take on my assessment of the Zion Williamson situation. Should he play the rest of the season, Jerry?
Well, I mean, I think he should do what he feels is best for him. He enjoys college basketball. And he's even said, I like playing here. I think he was even quoted as saying he would have come even if the one-and-done thing didn't exist. He would have come to college. He's enjoying playing college basketball. He's enjoying being with his teammates. He's enjoying being at Duke. And if he – I mean, look, you only get to do this once, and then you're off for the pros, and you're
exactly.
done with playing college basketball. So, you know, if he's appreciating the experience and he feels like it's a good thing for him, then he should do it. But I'm not going to tell him what he should do. He should do what he feels is best for him. But if he really enjoys college basketball, then I don't see why he wouldn't come back.
And the thing that impresses me the most about him, Jerry, is something you touched on. I've seen players that have his size. I've seen players that have his talent. I've seen players with both that didn't go on to have necessarily great NBA careers. Derek Coleman immediately comes to mind. What I see in Zion Williamson every single time I watch him play that tells me beyond a shadow of a doubt he's going to be not just a star but a superstar is his passion. To me, when I see that passion, when I see him... When I see his love for the game, I see a great work ethic. I see someone that cares. And for to me, of all of the traits and skill sets that he possesses, that to me is the one that is almost surefire showing success to me at the next level.
Yeah, I think his talent's still pretty raw, but, you know, as it is in most 18-year-olds. But he's a unique athlete, and you're right. I mean, he does – really seem to enjoy playing basketball, and you know, that kind of passion and work ethic is hard to replace.
Jerry Palm, who also, you know, Joe Lenardi gets all this hype and credit, but Jerry Palm does an amazing job with his bracket as well for CBS Sports. Jerry, can you give me, as of this moment, your last four in and your first four out?
Well, I can tell you what I had as of Monday morning.
Sure.
That is definitely going to change when I do a bracket tomorrow. But the last four in as of Monday morning were Clemson, UCF, Butler, and Arizona State. And Florida was among the first four out, as was, I believe, Arkansas. No, Florida, Furman, Utah State, oh, and Nebraska was among the first four out. Nebraska, of course, since lost, they're going to be gone. Florida is almost certainly going to move into the bracket. And then Clemson may be the one that drops out. Either Clemson or Butler will drop out. Florida, with a huge win last night at LSU, they're making a run at the right time of the season because they really needed to. They're running out of time. Now up to 15-11. But that was huge for Florida last night.
Absolutely was. Music to my ears as a Florida grad here, Jerry. So that's very, very good news. So
no way to go though.
Yeah, I know.
For Florida.
And they've got Georgia and Vanderbilt, and these are games that they should win. And if you lose one of those, you may undo what you did at LSU, right?
So correct.
I mean,
absolutely.
Clemson had gotten found their way into many brackets. They lose at Miami. Clemson right now is 5-8 in ACC play. There is an argument from people that I subscribe to, Jerry, that the tournament, at its essence, is supposed to be about rewarding the little guy and giving the little guy a chance. I've always been a proponent of having a Furman in the tournament over having a mediocre team in Clemson that had its chance with the big boys and failed. You know, how do you see, do you agree with that? I mean, if you were making it the tournament that Jerry Palm wants the tournament to be, Would you tend to side with the 13-3 guy in the small conference or the 8-8 guy in the big conference?
Well, that's not enough information.
You need a lot more info there, huh?
Well, I want to know, you know, 13-3 Furman is different than 13-3 Jackson State.
Sure.
So, you know, it really depends. And an 8-8 in the Big Ten this year is going to be a pretty good team. Although 8-8 in the Big Ten is somebody with four conference games left to play. But,
sure.
But I disagree with your initial statement, which is that the essence of the NCAA tournament is for the little guy to get a chance. It's not really. I mean, that's not why they created the NCAA tournament. It was, you know, that they've got 36 at-large teams, and they want to get the best 36, and they don't really care where you come from. The bigger schools have greater chances to get quality wins because their leagues are better. But Wofford has had a great year. Furman won at Villanova. I mean, those are teams that are legitimate at-large candidates. I think Lipscomb may have had their bubble burst last night at Gulf Coast, which is unfortunate because, you know, Lipscomb and Liberty and the Atlantic Sun, they can't afford to lose games like that because they didn't have enough equity built up outside the league to absorb a loss like that. So, you know, Lipscomb probably going to have to win the league now. Belmont might have to win the league. You know, Buffalo is probably okay. So there are some teams that are at-large candidates for the smaller conferences, but usually they have to do something outside their league to create that opportunity for themselves and give themselves a bit of a cushion for when they do stumble inside their league.
Let's say Furman makes it to the Southern Conference Championship game and falls to Wofford. They've got the win over Villanova earlier in the season. Is the Southern a multi-bid league this year in a scenario like that?
Well, I would say that Furman would get a discussion. It depends on what other teams do. But here's the thing. I think Furman has to win Saturday. I don't think three losses to Wofford is going to get it done. I think they've got to win Saturday at home against Wofford and then take their chances in the conference tournament. East Tennessee, Greensboro had good years in that league as well. They're both top 100 teams in the net, but they didn't do enough outside the league to merit at large consideration. It's really Wofford, Furman. But I think that if Furman is going to be an at-large team, that they probably have to win on Saturday.
Where do we stand with the two most popular teams in my area here, Jerry, Clemson and South Carolina?
Well, I mean, Clemson just needs quality wins. You know, Clemson's problem is they really don't have a lot of chances left in the regular season, but they do get Carolina at home. They get Syracuse at home. But then they have to win. You know, they blew a chance against Florida State. I mean, that's a great opportunity. They were, I don't know, terribly in that game much. But, you know, they need to win games like that. Their best win is Virginia Tech. They're 1-8 against teams in quadrant one, the best teams on their schedule. That's just not going to get it done. They'll have chances in the conference tournament, supposedly, as well. But they need to finish this regular season strong. But in particular, they've got chances for quality wins on the home court. Got to take advantage of that. South Carolina just needs wins. I mean, South Carolina's 13-12. So there's not a whole lot to talk about at 13-12. And when people have asked me about South Carolina, and I get a fair number of questions because they've done well in the league. They had to just to get to 500. They had to do well in the league. So, but the, you know, history tells you if you're not four games above 500, you're not an at-large team. So, you know, they're one game above 500. So I always tell people when they get to three, ask me again, that we can evaluate them better. But it's hard to take them seriously as an at-large candidate until that happens.
Follow his work on CBSSports.com. He's got the very latest up-to-date brackets. He's very, very accurate with what he does, both in college basketball and in college football. Jerry, great catching up, man. It's been a long time no talk, and let's make sure it's not that long again. Okay, bud?
Yep, anytime. Thanks.
Thank you. Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com. Greatly, greatly appreciate his time. You know, I thought it was interesting one thing he shared there. I didn't know that typically the cutoff line for consideration is four games above 500. You can look at a record. I can look at 14-11 Florida heading into last night's game and say to myself, yeah, that doesn't look like an NCAA tournament team. Then they go to 15-11 with a win on the road at number 13 LSU, who, oh, by the way, was an 11-1 and tied for first place in the SEC. Clemson was right there with Florida. They were both last four in, and Clemson just keeps wetting the bed. I mean, they just can't get it done. Florida wins on the road at number 13. Clemson is never in the game at home against Florida State. I have yet to talk to even one Clemson fan who believes they deserve to be in the big dance. So work to do for Clemson, work to do for South Carolina to get to the big dance, and it'll be really fascinating to see if one or both can put together a significant win to get them more consideration. Let's get right to it. He's been hanging patiently. Steve joins us next on the show. Steve, thanks for the call. You're offsides.
Hey, listen, thank you, Mark, and welcome to the Upstate. I'm Steve Sumner. I grew up here, and we love having you here, and I just hope that it works good for you, and thank you. I just wanted to make I just want to make a quick follow-up about Zion, who is fantastic, to a point you made earlier, and that is we all assume that he's going to have a fantastic NBA career. That is a big leap. It's a big leap. It's a different game. There's a guy, I don't know how old you are, but I'm almost 55. But there was a guy about 20 years ago named Robert, I can't believe I remember this, Robert Traylor at Michigan.
Of course.
They called him the truck.
The tractor trailer.
And he had, listen, remember him, the tractor trailer? And he, Michigan had some good clubs with him. I mean, they weren't great, but they had some very solid clubs. I don't know how far he took them, you know, into the dance. I would imagine Sweet 16, maybe, I'm not sure. But he really didn't do a whole lot in the pros. And he reminds me a little bit of Zion. Now, Zion is a better player, I think. But, you know, he was probably pushing 300 pounds.
I'll tell you, Steve, I'll tell you why. Robert Tractor Trailer was a very good college player. Here was the problem.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to say no to the all-you-can-eat buffet. Right,
there
and you if you remember, if you remember, I don't know what foods for you, Steve, but there's certain foods for me that even if I'm absolutely stuffed, I can't stop eating it. It tastes so good, like mac and cheese for me. I can be stuffed.
I keep eating it. But there were some similarities there.
Right,
it's a different game. I try to go. I'm getting in touch with. You know, I go to 4 or 5 NBA games a year, but. It's a different game. They are much more lean. They run a lot more. They obviously play 80-plus to 100 games a year versus 40, 35 to 40. And it's just not guaranteed that Zion is going to be the star.
You're right. You're right.
And
he can't shoot, and he's very raw.
Look at Tim Tebow, Mark.
Right.
I mean, look at Tim Tebow. One of the 25 best college football players ever, without a doubt, that ever laced him up, ever. And he struggled to make a roster. You know, it's just a different game. And I thought you made a great point there about why we all hope Zion comes back and Duke is at full speed. Very difficult last night, obviously, for Coach K and his staff and the whole team to try to react to that, you know, in 1 minute and change everything that you're doing. I hope he comes back healthy. It sounds like it's not a bad injury, but I just wanted to say that was an excellent point you made. And it's just not, you know, it's not guaranteed that he's going to be an all-NBA player. It's just not.
Steve, I really appreciate the kind words. I really appreciate your first phone call, and we hope to hear from you again. Okay, buddy?
10-4 partner. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the kind words. And look, Zion Williamson, it's a little bit weird because what is his NBA position, right? Then again, the NBA has kind of molded itself into being kind of a positionless game. I think Zion Williamson reminds me, he looks like a better, more diverse Draymond Green, who plays for the Golden State Warriors, can shoot a little bit from the outside, is a little bit of an undersized four, but can run the floor, can play good defense, can rebound with the best of them. I think the passion that Zion Williamson plays with is going to do him really, really well. And just the name is so money for marketing purposes. It is simply awesome. But you're right. There are no guarantees whatsoever. All right. So coming up next. This has been something that has made college football fans terrified. As they've said, it's the beginning of the end of the sport. Why perception does not equal reality, that's next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate for our station. If you'd like to follow me, I'd love to have you at Mark Ryan on air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word for Lonzo. We are Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. Sean Rower tweets into the show and he says, I've known Neil Pappas all my life. You do not want to take that bet number two, sir. Trust me when I tell you, but I would drive all the way back from Indiana to see it. Yeah, so Neil, you know Neil as the guy who calls our show. He's somewhat of a regular, and he makes dumb bets, right? He makes bad bets. He's a smart guy. Smart guys sometimes
make
bad bets.
He's made one bet. How is that a dumb bet?
He made two bets. Two bets. One, he bet that Golden State will not win the NBA championship. Dumb. Number two, he bet that the Los Angeles Lakers will make it to the conference finals. Even more dumb in terms of a bet, right? Not a dumb guy, dumb bets. He's got to win both of those for him to win the bet, right? It's not going to happen. So because he knows it's not going to happen, what does Neil do? He calls back today and says, hey, Mark, you grab that Diddy guy that does your blog segment, and me versus you and him in a game to 21 of basketball, and you guys won't win, right? Number one, we would win. Number two, I don't accept the bet because you haven't even lost the first couple bets yet. All right? So you got to allow yourself the opportunity to lose here. All right? Take your lickings, Neil. And meanwhile, I'll be enjoying that gift card from a local restaurant that you have coming to me. I think that's probably what I'm going to do before all is said and done. I will accept a gift card from you, sir, for your erroneous bets.
Again, every bet that you take that I've seen has to deal with food, and it's just getting free food. Is that how you survived in all the other places?
Listen, again, Lonzo.
Never having to
again,
buy a meal for again, yourself? It's again. A good way to go.
Whenever I go somewhere, my belly is on time, and I am 15 minutes late. Okay? It's just how it works for me, brother. And so, you know, you can never go wrong with the food bets, right? There's lots of great restaurants around here. Most of which I haven't even tried yet that I'm dying to try, and I can't wait to have that opportunity. All right. So this is something that a lot of college football fans have decried is going to mark the end of the sport, right? Oh, my God, the sky is falling. You're hearing it now about the XFL. Oh, my God, how they're going to take our players out of high school. They're not even going to go to college. But if there's one complaint, if there's one thing that many fans in college football fans are worried about right now, it's about that damn transfer portal. Think of these words that we're using right now. Portal's a video game that I really used to like, right? And now in college football, it's this transfer thing that people hate. And why do I not like all the transferring in college football? Because it kind of feels like quarterbacks are free agents now, doesn't it? And I don't think college football is really supposed to feel like that. You shouldn't have free agency. Oh, guess what? Kyler Murray's not getting playing time at Texas Tech. Where is he going to go? Where is Kyler Murray going to go? Oh, yes, he's going to sign as a free agent with the Oklahoma Sooners. And you're just seeing it too much. You're seeing it too much from every single team. And truth be told, one thing that head coaches always have to deal with, you're always going to have disgruntled players on your team because your roster's 90 plus and every single one of those players feels like he's good enough to be playing, feels like he's good enough to be starting, right? So you're always going to have turmoil on the team. You're always going to have disgruntled players that aren't happy with their role, players threatening to transfer and so on and so forth. But this is what I find really, really interesting. You know how it seems like this is a major problem today in college football? You know, it's just, oh man, it's ruining college football today. Well, what if momentarily I shared with you that perception does not equal reality here? What if perception does not, in fact, equal reality? Folks, I've got some numbers for you here. Okay? In the year 2004, right? In the year 2004, The players that went for a 2-4 year transfer, the rate of transferring in 2004 was 12.7%. The rate now is 13.3%. Do you see how even that is? What is the perception? Oh my God, things have changed so wildly just in the last 3 or 4 years. No, they haven't. 12.7% rate of transfer to 13.3%. percent rate of transfer. How about players with 1 year left of eligibility that want to transfer? In 2004, 9.0%. In 2017, 9.2%. It's almost exactly the same in the last 13 years. Okay? How about total transfers, right? Total transfers are 12.7 to 13.3%, right? Players that transfer after a year, 3.6% in 2004, 4.2% in 2017. Again, ladies and gentlemen, what is this telling us? This is telling us that this is not a new phenomenon, but transfers are getting more attention now than they've ever received in the past. It is a question of perception versus reality. The perception is that this is a major issue with college football, and the reality is it's really no different than it's ever been previously. It's incredible to consider that, right? The rate of transfers in the last 13 to 15 years really have not changed at all. So when you're worried about the future of college football, this sport that we love that's near and dear to our hearts, as I strongly feel, as you strongly feel, what we should truly be worried about is how things would change if there was a pay-the-players model. I don't want to see that ever happen. I hope that never happens. We should be worried about the effect of the XFL and the AAF. Are players now going to have an option just to go right to those leagues and not even play college football? Can the football gods, can the football commissions legislate that you're not allowed to go play in the XFL for 3 years? Remember, the AAF has an alliance with the NFL. The NFL Network is airing AAF football games. So I don't think you're going to see the AAF taking kids out of high school because the NFL doesn't want them to do that. But Vince McMahon and the NFL isn't beholden to that. And if Vince McMahon is throwing a $150,000 check in your face, and what you have to give up is the great opportunity to play at a place like Clemson, there's a lot of kids. There's a lot of young kids. There are some who have babies on the way that need to have a way to fund all of those things, that come from poor families that would jump at the chance to make $150,000. So when you're worried about the future of college football, do not concern yourself with the rate of transfer, because we've just established that that rate is completely and totally unchanged. Be concerned with things like paying college players and what that does to the other sports and what that does to the schools that can't afford it, and be very concerned about the XFL perhaps having its own set of rules that pays kids to leave right after college, and now maybe, just maybe, college football is no longer getting the very best of the high school talent. That, my friends, would be a very, very, very dark day for all of college football. All right, coming up next, we do it each and every show. It is the best thing we heard today. My name is Mark Ryan. He's Lonzo Reitzel, and we are Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. A check on the Health There text line, which you could access at 71307. Simply start your text with ESPN, and away you go. I was talking about fans wanting Zion to hold out. Yeah, that would be a really, really bad thing. Another texter says Zion should have been wearing Air Jordans. Look, Nike has a real black eye today, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you cannot have the number one player in college basketball in the number one game in the entire college basketball season, and the reason he can't play is because he sprained his knee because your shoe broke, because when he planted, his foot kept moving because your shoe didn't support him. I've been a Nike guy over the course of my life. This is one of the darkest days ever for Nike. Yeah, Lonzo's rocking Nikes today. I'm a big Nike guy, but this is a black eye. This is a dark day for Nike that Zion Williamson was wearing a Nike brand shoe. It blows out on him, and then as a result, he sprains his knee in the biggest game of the year. Mark, South Carolina's 14-12, not 13-12. Great show. Thanks for the kind words. Always appreciate the corrections. I think my man Jerry Palm and I both missed that one. And another texter said, Mark, beware, Gator Neil Pappas is a professional handicapper. See, that's why I'm not falling for that nonsense with his other bet, right? I mean, it'd be like Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump. You know, he'd be the guy that comes out and just hustles everybody out there. Look, I can ball. I'm confident in my shooting ability. I've got like a righty and lefty jump hook that is unblockable. That's pretty good because I have massive, massive hands, right? That's not a sexual reference, by the way. I just have massive hands, right? I can shoot over anybody with this jump hook. So I'm confident in my ability to beat Neil Pappas, but I don't have to take that bet. We're going to beat Neil in the bets that we made. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the best thing we heard today. And I can't believe it, but I actually agree with Stephen A. Smith.
I'm addressing the point that everybody's been talking about. You got a lot of people out there, including our very own Scottie Pippen and Tracy McGrady, on the jump weeks ago when this man was healthy, not injured, and they were saying he shouldn't play. I think that is utterly ridiculous. There is no way on earth a healthy Zion Williamson should quit in the middle of the season to preserve himself for the NBA draft.
The words of Stephen A. Smith, and he's 100% correct. In folks, in life, you finish what you start. In life, if you make the commitment, you honor said commitment. And here's to hoping that Zion Williamson does just that and that we all get the privilege of watching him in the NCAA tournament here coming up. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, to a Friday Eve edition of the show. You guys made me get stronger as the show went on. Straight Up with Sturge is up next right here on ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.